Dave Burke for Star Football Report. Super excited to get this interview with a young man. I call him one of my guys. I've known him for a long time. I'm talking about Heath Harding, formerly high school career, was at Dayton Christian High School, and played his college career at Miami, Ohio. And super excited. So stay tuned for that here shortly. And we want to thank First Star Logistics for their sponsorship. As always, they've been great to us at First Star Football Report the last couple seasons, and we look forward to their continued support. If you're looking for a new career, be sure to go to firststarlogistics.com because they're hiring right now. Like I said, I'm super excited to bring this next guest into the show, and this is all about a young man who I had the chance to get to know from early in his high school career, and I'm talking about Heath Harding, and let's bring Heath into the show.
Hey.
So, the full disclosure, I first met Heath Harding up in Massillon, Ohio. He was at the Nike Spark. No one was talking to him. He got done doing his testing, and he's walking by, and I said, hey, how'd you do? And he showed me his card, and I'm like, Dayton Christian? Shoot, I live right down there by there. I don't know who you are. Let's get to know each other. And since that time, I think that's like, he was 2011, 2012, somewhere in that time.
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, so we've known each other since. And, you know, you're one of my guys. You're one of my guys. I just, you know how I feel about you as a person and how I felt about you as a player. And it's for you to be the first guy to do, you know, come on and do one of these interviews. I thank you so much. And it's great to catch up because we've had a chance to kind of catch up here before we did this. So let's talk about, you know, first off, how's things going for you right now in life and today?
Things are going well, you know, staying active, staying fit, and more importantly, staying healthy during this pandemic. I really don't have any complaints. I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing with my life. I work for the Job Center Staffing Agency in Columbus. I'm still working out and being active, like I said. So that's pretty much it right now.
And you say working out, you're still training. You're still looking for that opportunity to chase the game.
Oh yeah, I'm not just working out to look good. You know, you gotta. I'm working out for a purpose, is what I mean. You know, you always gotta be ready. I was always told if you stay ready, you won't have to get ready. So I stay in shape year round, hoping for an opportunity and itching for an opportunity. So when it comes, all I have to do is perform.
Let's go back. We talked about that day in Massillon when you with Nike Spark, and what blew me away was. We're talking about electronic timing at the Nike. It's not hand time.
Yeah.
And you blew it away. Talk about, you know, let's go back to that day. What type of numbers were you posting, you know, as a junior in high school?
Oh, man, let me just talk about the nerves first off. Like, full disclosure, like you said, I went to Dayton Christian. So, you know, we kind of, this was new for, you know, our school, new for me. Some of the drills that I did there, that was the first time I've ever done it, first time I've seen it. Like, I know, weird to say, you know, being – where I'm at now and all the things that I've done. But I remember going there doing the shuttle and I'm like learning right before I go, like talking to some of the guys, like, so how do I do this? How do I do that? And then they're mad at me because my time is better than theirs. So, I mean, it was a cool experience and definitely changed my life for the better. I think I ran a 4.53 laser there, you know, as a young buck. And I did a 38 vert. And if I remember, what was my shuttle? I think my shuttle was like a 4.19.
I think somewhere I have a picture still, because I took a snapshot of you. Mm-hmm. I probably still have that somewhere on a hard drive that I'd haven't come through, you know, looking for in the last several years. But
in the archives.
But I mean, I've had the chance to watch you, and I kind of wanted to surprise you with this because we're going to show some stuff now, and I'll let you comment on this because I went back and you were one of those guys early, the huddle guys. I tell people all the time when I started doing recruiting at scout.com, you know, guys would send me their video on VHS tape and technology. You were one of those early guys that got the benefits of huddle. And so let's play some Heath Harding huddle highlights from your senior year of high school.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Look at the unis.
Look at the speed.
Look at the speed. I want to say I had, what, 4 or 5 touchdowns this game?
Oh,
Preble Shawnee, remember this first game of the year? pulled hamstring. Oh, this was the game I was I had 6 touches for 6 touchdowns. I was like one of the national players of the week. Is this Ponitz or Jefferson? I think Ponitz. I miss being on offense. This takes me back.
Well, I had to include some defense.
Oh. Hey, I thought it was so funny because this is my senior year. And obviously, I already have offers at this point, and most of them are for defensive back. And I legit like had no defensive highlights until my senior year, really. So it was just funny that everyone's like, everyone was testing me all year long. Like, oh, he's this DB. I'm like, bro, I'm a running back. Like, chill. I'm gonna get it.
We had those, and that's one of the things I want to talk about because, you know, as I talk to kids, and this goes back to when I talked to you, and you were going to camps, and you were posting great numbers, not just on the field, but in camps. You were running, you know, 4.38s, 40s. I mean, at Ohio State.
Yeah, I ran the 4.33 at Ohio State.
Yeah.
The fastest one. It was Urban's first year, his first time doing the camps at Ohio State, and I had the fastest time that summer. Out of all the camps.
In Cincinnati. And I remember I was in Michigan. You gave me the call. And you're like, Mr. Burke, no one's recruiting me. I ran this at Ohio State. I did this at Cincinnati. No one's recruiting me. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, hey, okay, I'm getting ready to go. I think it was like the two days. I was up doing Sound Mind, Sound Body. I was going to go at Michigan State camp a couple of days later. I said, can you get to Michigan State camp? And you got into the Michigan State camp. You got you came up. But I told you you had to come as a defensive back, not a running back. And you're like, I'm a running back, Mr. Burke. I said, no, you're a DB. You're going to get recruited. You're going to get more opportunities as a DB. And that's a conversation. What was going through your mind when you have this guy telling you that even though you're putting all these huge numbers, and I want to talk about it because – in your high school career, you rushed for 5,124 yards. Mm-hmm. That senior year, you had 2,200 yards. You scored 102 touchdowns in your career. You put up huge numbers. You dominated.
Yeah.
And here's a guy telling you that, hey, you got to be a DB.
I mean, you kind of just like anything in life, it's a gamble, you know? Like, I didn't want to hear it. Obviously, having the success I did in high school, didn't want to hear it. But, you know, that's credit to you as well. You haven't stirred me wrong at that point, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, we were good. You're like, if you're telling me this, I'm it didn't hurt. I obviously didn't have any offers at that point, so what did I have to lose? Only had something to gain. So I went out there, and you know, with all the nerves that I had, because obviously I'm like, this is an audition for a job and I've never done this, so I was definitely nervous. And but it panned out.
Yeah, because I think you went from that camp and within a week you had like 5 offers from
literally. Like my first drill at DB, Coach Peterson from Miami came up and he's like, yeah, we want to offer you. And then it was just rapid fire after that. Toledo, Buffalo, Bowling Green, OU. Like it was awesome.
Let's go back and talk about that recruiting process for you, because, you know, as we've already kind of touched on the adversity coming out of Dayton Christian. You had an opportunity you could have left Dayton Christian and gone to other school, bigger programs, and would have done extremely well as well. But you chose to stay there because that's kind of where you grew up.
Yeah. So with that, like, my Coach Douglas, you know, he's a Trotwood legend, you know, football legend, especially in the city of Dayton. He's actually a family member of mine, he's our cousin. So he was trying to get me in Trotwood, you know. Not on like recruiting things, just basically.
No, it's family.
To my mom. Yeah, it's family. Just like, hey, I'm going to take care of them, whatever, you know, see what I'm doing with my boys. Like, they'll be in good hands. And I mean, I felt like I would have done well there, you know, obviously, but I was loyal. You know, I started playing football 5th grade at Dayton Christian. And I've seen so many great athletes come through our school and leave and put us in a bad situation. I didn't want to be the next one. I kind of, you know, I grew up with the mentality is if you're good enough, they're going to find you. You know, it's just simple as that. It wasn't going to be because of my school. So I was like, just kept working harder. I'm like, all right, something I'm doing wrong. You know, it's not Dayton Christian. It's something I'm doing wrong. Maybe I just, instead of getting 1,500 yards, I need to get 2,000 yards. Instead of getting 25 touchdowns, I need to get 35 touchdowns. You know, I just kept, you know, setting the bar even higher for me year after year. I think that
You also had a special relationship with your head coach at Dayton Christian.
Yes, Coach Amlin, which it kind of started off rocky. My sophomore year, you know, that was his first coaching year there. We didn't get along too well. You know, I'm young 15-year-old kid who play as a true freshman. This guy's telling me all these different things, bringing this different scheme. I'm not really getting the ball. You know, we had a rocky start, but, you know, then we connected. You know, you build a trust through the adversities of football, and then, you know, you build a deeper personal level. And I found out, you know, more about his life and his battle with cancer. And it resonated with me because my mom was, you know, going through the same things off and on like he was. So we kind of bonded through both of our, you know, our trials. And, you know, I couldn't leave my guy. Then it was kind of cool. I remember my senior year, he's like, Heath, I was going to retire sophomore year. But you came up to me when I was in my truck about to leave and, like, thanked me for coaching you that year. And he's like, I've never had a player do that. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to coach until this guy graduates. And, you know, yeah, there it is. And, you know, I miss him. He passed away a couple years back, so.
Yeah, he was a fighter for you. Yeah. That I can say. Being that guy from a small school. We just saw another guy from a small school, not as small as Dayton Christian, yeah. But pretty small. Joe, you know, I still call him Joe Burrow from mm-hmm. Athens High School, small school. Become the number one draft pick. I mean, fight through the adversity. Yep. And what did that teach you just in the early part of going through recruiting? Because it came down, and there's a little tie there, you know, because you were down to Miami, Ohio, and Ohio University as the two schools you were trying to choose between.
Yeah.
And you were being recruited by Joe's dad, Jimmy Burrow.
And, yeah, I remember he used to talk about Joe, too, because Joe's in high school. I'd be like, yeah, I didn't think anything of it at the time, obviously. You know, he's showing me some clips of his son. I'm like, he looks good. Like, didn't think he would be the number one overall pick, you know, but he proved me wrong. He proved everyone else wrong.
Yeah. But what did that teach you going into college, though? When you know, I tell guys all the time, it's not about, you know, recruiting is just one part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Because you can be Mr. Everything. And you were, mm-hmm. you were a nominee for Mr. Football. Mm-hmm. You know, you had great stats, all that stuff. But when you get to college, it starts all over again. You're that freshman again,
yep.
Fighting your way up that ladder. What did your journey in high school teach you as you got ready to go into that college game?
So this is what I tell recruits when they were going to Miami. They're like, what's the biggest advice you can give me? And I'm just like, you got to come in working and you got to earn it every day. You know, nothing is ever going to be given to you. You know, you can't come into the mindset of I was the best player here or there. It's like your whole recruiting class. If you look around, everyone here is the best player at their school. That's why they're here. You got to come out here and prove it every day. You know, it's a result-oriented business, what football is. You know, they don't remember what you did a week ago. It's what you did last. You know, I just got to always remember that. I think that's what kind of got me in this position I did my freshman year and throughout.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.
As we talked about when we started this, about everything going on in the world right now with the COVID-19 yep. and stuff like that, kids are having that are, you know, in high school going through that process of recruiting like you were several years ago, they're facing challenges that you never even dreamed about facing. No spring evaluation, no summer camps from the way it looks right now. What advice would you give those guys that are, you know, because you still have the dream to play the game. You're still training to possibly play the game as a professional. What would you tell those guys?
Don't give up. You know what I mean? It's probably easy to not work out or go through the notion that, you know, gyms aren't open. This isn't open. That, you know, I can relax a little bit. They will understand. They'll take it easy on me. They'll give me a break. And I mean, like I said, that's easy to do, but don't do it. Try to fight that because, you know, there's someone's working. Someone's out there working and someone's always going to be out there trying to outwork you. So you always got to stay in the lab and stay improving on your skills, you know, so you can not get passed up by the next guy. And I know, like, going forward for me, like, I used to make excuses about working out. Now it's like you find all these different innovative ways to work out since you don't have a gym. It's kind of like it's going to eliminate excuses going forward. It's like you worked out during the pandemic. You didn't have gyms. You had like cans. Like you're doing curls with some heavy cans. Like, you know, you can make it work if you really want it bad enough. And I think that's going to make the next group of guys going up way tougher than my group because they had to go through all these different challenges to achieve, you know, the dream.
Well, we showed you the high school highlights. Let's move to the college because I'm going to bring this up again, you know, we look at finding some stuff here to, you know, kind of put things out there and we found these YouTube highlights of Heath Harden.
For all the people watching who didn't think I was decent, let the film do the talking always.
Yeah, that's against Notre Dame.
Let's not talk about that game. that was just their run game. We could not tackle Notre Dame.
But yeah. you had a extremely solid college career. You earned all MAC honors multiple years. You had I know you were nominated for, you know, different, you know, postseason awards and stuff like that and preseason watch list and all that stuff.
That's the Buffalo clip,
your freshman year.
Yeah.
And as we talked before we went into this, some guy who's doing some stuff in the NFL nowadays was on that Buffalo team. I think his last name was Mac or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where
that stuff's so cool for me looking at. It just goes back to like you telling me and like encouraging me to play corner. Like I would have never in a million years thought I'd have like a career playing defensive back. And then the start as a true freshman, that last clip was against Cincy that you just showed. That was my first start at corner. Nervous, you know, I'm still raw at the position. You know, I'm 4 months in learning how to play DB, honestly. Yeah. If that, like, and, you know, had 10 tackles my first game, fumble recovery, and my first interception all at my first start, like,
you know. And in a rival game.
I think that just goes back to, you know, not only having people believe in you, but believing in yourself. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like another big thing I tell guys going forward. Like, there's going to always be people like the naysayers. Just got to believe in yourself. Because I did, and look, that happened, and that's all God, man. Like, cause I was out there, like, head on a swivel, like, super nervous. My first play, I was run block, and I got dropped on my butt. I'm like, oh, my gosh, welcome to college. Like, and it was cool.
Now, at the same time, as great of a career you had and you enjoyed, you had adversity in college as well, and then that's just part of the game. And I tell people all the time, you know, we just had the NFL draft recently. I tell guys a lot of times, you know, getting drafted is not just, you know, what you did in college. It's how you, just like in recruiting, how you project, what can you do for them as a team paying you?
Yep.
But there's so many other things that have to come into play. You got to show what you can do on the field, but you got to stay healthy. Like a lot of guys, you fought injuries as well in those adversity. How hard is it when you look back now, how hard was it to face that adversity in college as compared to high schools? It was a different set of adversity.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I mean, that kind of, so it's weird to think, like, I remember Coach Amlin would always tell me, like, cancer is the best thing that's ever happened to him. I'd be looking at him like, dude, you're crazy. Like, how is this, like, deadly disease the best thing that's ever happened to you? And I think he just meant, like post-cancer, like, having it and, you know, the strength that he built through it is the best thing. Because he wouldn't have had that vision, that mindset, if he didn't have that. And I kind of saw that, you know, in 2015 when I had that stress fracture in my back. You know, I went 2-year starter, freshman, sophomore year. You know, junior year is typically supposed to be your big breakout year. I was amped, and I honestly thought I was on top of the world, you know, as a young buck. You know, I was ready to go, and then that happened, and it taught me to, you know, be more assertive, not only on the field, but in terms of my preparation off the field. Like, to be real, I didn't really watch film necessarily as much or intently as I should have. as a freshman, sophomore. But that year, it kind of had to change my game up and had to look at things differently. And that helped me go into that 2016 year with a better sense of how to play the game of football, how to play corner, and like the confidence at my position. And that led to me being first team All MAC. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that injury definitely helped propel me to have further success. I think it just goes back to just taking negatives and making it positive, honestly.
And the other thing you fought adversity-wise, you and your teammates, was the fact you were recruited by one group, yep, coached by another group. Coaches are hired to be fired.
Yep.
Or they come to schools like Miami and end up leaving for bigger jobs if they have success. And you had to go through the first part of, a coach who a lot of people liked, but the results weren't happening on the field, and was let go. Miami was his alma mater, Don Treadwell, and great guy. I've known Don for many years and great person. But at the same time, schools, you got to win. That's the job. So how did you go through handling change of, a coaching staff, because that's part of life. I don't think you see it maybe at that age, but you learned it for the first time at that age, that, and as you know now as an adult in the working world, you may have a new boss every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that goes back to what I said earlier, just about proving it every day. Like my freshman year, you saw some clips. Started my freshman year, played pretty well for a true freshman. And then, our coach got fired midseason. So in comes a new coach. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how well you played or what you did, when your team goes 0-12, everyone's replaceable. And that's kind of the mindset he came in with. Like, you got to prove it again. So there I was again, coming off my freshman year, kind of like thinking, all right, I'm good. I should play. You know what I'm saying? I thought I would. And then, just not performing the best in spring ball. And then kind of having this ankle injury in the fall camp, which led to me not starting the first couple games. And it just kind of put a chip on my shoulder. And then on top of that, I had to play safety my sophomore year. So not only did I play corner for the first time my freshman year, I got moved to a completely new position my second year. But, it makes you better in the long run. It definitely is challenging in the moment. But I think if you can go into it with the right mindset, that's why, I kind of encourage guys and kids now, like, to have this mindset going into it. Don't wait for all this adversity and challenges to hit. Learn from our mistakes, But it's easier said than done.
And, and today you've had a chance to watch Chuck Martin, mm-hmm, and his staff turn things around at Miami. And I know as an alum, you're excited and proud of,
Mac Champs, baby.
Mac Champs, of what they've done. And what's it like to watch that development? Like you said, a new coach comes in, someone you don't know, his staff comes in. They tell you things. They may push you to where you want to quit. Yeah. It's like I tell guys all the time when there's coaching change. Those guys are going to see if they can break you. How far can they push you? Yeah. And I'm sure,
Coach Martin's big on that too. He's like, because he's an intimidator, not intimidator. That's a bad way to put it, but he'll try to get under your skin a little bit at practice, because his mindset is, this is his words, not mine. If a Division III white guy can get under your skin, you're definitely not going to survive at, playing at Michigan, playing Notre Dame, being at Ohio State, because it's going to be way tougher there. So he just builds mental toughness that way.
Watching that development of the program coming from where you, like you said, 0-12,
yeah,
to being a MAC champion. Talk about what it's like for you as, having been part of that building process leading up to the success they've had.
No, it's definitely cool. So a lot of my classmates from the year I graduated and before, we actually went to the MAC championship game. They kind of gave us tickets for that. That's kind of a thank you for helping us get to this point. Obviously, as a player, the competitiveness comes out. You wish you could have been, part of that driving force to get them there, but you had a hand played in where they are now. And it's just cool. He's from day one, he recruits football guys, and you kind of have to buy in. And if you do, success happens. Teams in the past necessarily didn't buy in completely. And, when times get tough, we crumbled. So it's definitely cool to see, all the hard work from, all the coaches, the players, and even the AD with Saylor just all coming, together. They all deserve it. So I was happy for them. And as an alum, it gives me some bragging rights for some of the other guys in the conferences.
One of the things, you talk about your career at Miami, And I know before you left, you know, when kids are being recruited, they may not know it at the time, those who were being recruited by Miami would go in for junior days or whatever. There was a video that the coaching staff would show all these recruits. I don't know if they knew that we, you know, I had a chance to see it.
Yeah.
And as soon as the voice started talking, I'm going, that's Heath Harding. what was it like being the narrator of that video?
No, it was kind of cool. I mean, it just kind of showed the belief and trust they had in me, not just for what I did for Miami, but to help them, you know, get to where, you know, they want to be in the future. So it was great to be, you know, a part of that vision for the future as well. Thought that was cool.
Let's talk today's world. As everyone knows, we're all experiencing different things with the COVID-19. You're still working. People are trying to do everything they can to survive and get through this. We talked about how this is affecting high school kids. You know, they're not in school. One of the things I know you talked about, you stayed at Dayton Christian because you had built relationships. Your friends were there. Mm-hmm. You know, college football, there's talk of, you know, I think there's a lot of people being positive that, hey, college football is going to happen, but not sure when. Yeah. But then we keep seeing different stories of maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be something that happens in the spring, or it's going to get pushed back to later in the fall. What's your thoughts right now going into all this? Now looking at it on the outside, looking in, what's your thoughts? What should happen? Because you know more than anybody, you know how it is to travel. You know how it is to be in a locker room with, you know, during practices with, you know, 105 guys or more, and then have, you know, travel squads and then regular, you know, home games. And you've got, you know, the guys that are there. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to go into this. So give me your thoughts of what you think is going to happen with college football in the 2020 season.
It's tough, man. Honestly, with there not being a vaccine yet, it makes things very tough because, you know, like you just mentioned, football and with all sports, you kind of travel in close quarters, you know? So I mean, the only way that I can see it happening right now is that if individual teams, when they, you know, get to camp or whatever, they like quarantine themselves briefly, you know, and then you're just quarantined throughout the season together, you know, because you can't, you know what I mean? Kind of like how you would do with like housemates. Obviously, if you have your three or four housemates, like you guys built quarantine together so you can be around each other. It doesn't matter how close you are. I think that's what you would have to do with the teams and just kind of probably test what once. Do you think they'll test once a week? I don't think you can do that. I don't think so. But I think you might have to. It's crazy times. Like, I definitely feel for, you know, a lot of players and even the spring sports, like those seniors, like, that stinks. Like, I couldn't even imagine having my senior year. Like, I was hurt my senior year, so it was like kind of a way, but to have not be able like to do it at all, like, that's tough. Like, I don't know. These are definitely tough, difficult, and challenging times. And I just, you know, hope everyone is trying to like be positive and stay as upbeat as possible.
You played in Mid-American Conference, and you know, and being honest, I mean, conference games that are on campus in the Mid-Mac, it's not like being at Michigan or Notre Dame or whatever. It's not 100,000 people in the stands. You have 10, 12, 13, 15, 17,000 people. Every once in a while, you know, if like Miami and UC are playing in a rivalry game, you have a bigger crowd. But you had the chance to go to places like Notre Dame and playing and other Big Ten conferences and places like that. The thought of having to go play one of those schools with nobody in the stands,
can't fathom it. I remember my sophomore year, probably one of my favorite memories, going out there on kickoff at Michigan, you know, 110,000 people. I can, you know, they do the whistle, you know, to start the game, whatever. I couldn't even hear the whistle. That's how loud it was. You know, just having stories and memories like that, I think, you know, it's going to stink for the kids going forward. Just they're being robbed of those experiences. And, you know, I don't know. It's just tough. Like the Bamas and stuff, like you said, like they're just used to having sold out packed stadiums. So it's definitely going to change their world. Can't talk right now, more so than it would the Mid-American conferences, because, you know, our attendance isn't, you know, as packed and high up as theirs, but still it's just hard to believe, you know, cause you look like on a big third down, like even if Miami had like 100 fans in there, it's like, that gets you pumped up because you know, these people are keeping you accountable. So it's just, you got to be more self-discipline. It's going to go into effect. Like, I know a buddy plays pro hockey, and he said, it's going to stink because you don't have, you know, home ice advantage anymore. And he's like, Heath, like, that's a big advantage. just to have people pounding on the glass and stuff, just having that around you, you build energy off those people. Because, you know, some days you wake up, you don't have it always. You know, you kind of need to feed off others. And he's like, so it's just more so just being more self-disciplined and going into it with that mindset and just find it yourself. So it's going to be definitely interesting to see what happens. So
we've been joined by Heath Harding, a young man, you know, as I tell guys all the time, he's one of my guys. Always will be one of my guys. Tells me to get the hell away. You know, it's always great catching up with you, Heath.
Are you ending the show? Are you kicking me off?
We're going to end the show. But I mean, you know, I wanted to, you know, any last thoughts you may have, you want to put out there?
I mean, in terms of advice, like I said, just stay hungry, stay active, be ready. So you never have to get ready. You know, I will continue being ready for whatever opportunity comes my way. I pray that I do get one. And if not, you know, I think I'll be successful and happy as well. But, you know, football is still definitely something dear and near to my heart. And, you know, hopefully the next interview we have is me on some roster and we can talk about that.
And he told me he's running. He's almost the heaviest. He's the heaviest he's ever been.
198, ran a 4.46 last week. So next speed's time still I'll, there. I'll have to bring some film so I can show it.
Speed's still there.
Still there.
So well, I appreciate you taking the time, and it's always great catching up. And you know, continued success in life, no matter what it is you're doing. And you know, at any time I'm here for you, and always a pleasure having a chance to talk to you. And I like again appreciate you taking the time. And again, we want to thank Heath. We're going to have this on our YouTube channel, First Star Football Report. We're going to have it on firststarfootballreport.com. We're going to have it on our Instagram. We're going to have it on our Facebook page. We're going to have it all the places. We're going to be
everywhere.
Heath everywhere. And this is one of many of the of guys I want to bring in and do some interviews with. And it's been a while since I've had a chance to interview Heath. And it really wasn't an interview. It was two friends catching up. So, Heath, thank you again greatly. And continued success.
Thank you as well. Hey, follow your boy on Instagram, HeathMU24. Please do that. But yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Like you said, it's definitely cool for me to do this, you know, many years later, being able to do this again. It's an unreal experience because you kind of set things in motion for me and how my life trajectory was. So appreciate it. Very grateful.
Heath Harding.
Yes, sir. See you guys.
Thank you.